May we be helped to commence this morning's worship by singing together hymn 498, hymn 498, tune Hillborough 157. Time, what an empty vapour 'tis, and days how swift they are. Swift as an Indian arrow flies, or like a shooting star. The present moments just appear, then slide away in haste, that we can never say they're here, but only say they're past. Our life is ever on the wing, and death is ever nigh. The moment when our lives begin, we all begin to die. Hymn 498, tune Hillborough 157.
Thank you. May the Lord help us to read from the Word of God. We turn to the second book of the Kings, chapter 21, together with the last two verses of chapter 20. The second book of the Kings, chapter 21, together with the two last verses of chapter 20. And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might, and how he made a pool and a conduit and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh his son reigned in his stead. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he reared up altars for Baal, and made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his son pass through the fire, and observed times, and used enchantments, and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. And he set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house, of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they hearkened not, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake by his servants the prophets, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, hath done these abominations, and hath done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols, Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria, and the plummet of the house of Ahab. And I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. And I will forsake the remnant of mine inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies. And they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies, because they have done that which was evil in my sight, and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even unto this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much, till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, beside his sin, wherewith he made Judah to sin, in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh, and all that he did, and his sin that he sinned, are they not written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Manasseh slept with his fathers, and was buried in the garden of his own house, in the garden of Uzzah, and Amon his son reigned in his stead. Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Meshulemeth, the daughter of Haraz of Jotbah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. And he walked in all the way that his father walked in, and served the idols that his father served, and worshipped them. And he forsook the Lord God of his fathers, and walked not in the way of the Lord. And the servants of Amon conspired against him, and slew the king in his own house. And the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Amon. And the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his stead. Now the rest of the acts of Amon which he did, are they not written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of Judah? And he was buried in his sepulchre in the garden of Uzzah. And Josiah his son reigned in his stead. May the Lord instruct us each from his holy word, and help us now to pray. Great God, how infinite art thou. What worthless worms are we? Let the whole race of nature bow and pay their praise to thee. Lord, what is man and what are we that thou should be mindful of us? But oh, we thank thee that through thy well-beloved Son thou doth view thy chosen people in the beauty of Christ, in the glory of Emmanuel. There is no spot in thee, O Lord, no blemish as viewed in the dear Redeemer. And yet, Lord, we realise and know, as we labour under the burden of indwelling sin and a body of sin and death, oh, how low sin has reduced us, and how it reduced thy people of old in the generations recorded in thy holy word. And Lord, apart from thy mercy, thy grace, thy great goodness, we should be in despair. But O Lord, we thank thee that there is mercy with thee, that thou mayest be found. And we would venture, Lord, before thee as a worm of earth, as Abraham of old, who declares, I am but dust and ashes before the Lord, and as dear David, and as dear Jacob, worm Jacob. And so, Lord, we thank thee for these testimonies of thy dear people recorded in thy word. And in the New Testament, the apostle said, though I be nothing, nothing in ourselves, but everything in the Lord Jesus. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Lord, we are not deceived in these matters, for thou hast taught us what we are by nature, having felt the plague of sin and the world and the flesh and the devil. But oh, we thank thee for the revelation of Christ, the way of salvation, the hope of eternal life. And so, Lord, we would bow before thee, for thou art not the King of Judah that we have read of now, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thou, Lord Jesus, doth reign as King on Zion's hill. And we come, Lord, now to bow before thee in reverence and in godly fear, and to render the praise, Lord, that is due alone to thee. We come short, Lord, in this matter, yet we desire so to do, for thou art worthy of all praise, dominion, might and power, because thou art the eternal God, and there is none else. Now, Lord, in thy great goodness thou hast brought us in peace and safety to thine earthly courts again, together with thy dear people here, who statedly worship thee in this honoured house of God. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt be with us today, and grant, Lord, that gracious realisation of thy felt presence in our midst, yea, in our hearts. May we be favoured to draw near, Lord, to thee, and thou hast promised to draw near to us. O Lord, may we be made nigh by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, our advocate, our intercessor, whoever liveth, to make intercession for us. And so we venture, Lord, with thy dear people here to come to the throne of thy grace, praying that thou, Lord Jesus, would intercede on our behalf. For thou art the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so, Lord, we do pray that we might feel that nearness, that warmth in our heart. Save us from a hard, cold, indifferent heart. May we have that new heart, that heart of flesh, that heart that trembles at thy word, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Help us, Lord, to come before thee with the unleavened bread of sincerity and of truth. For, Lord, thou knowest the way we take, the path we each walk in. Thou knowest, Lord, the beginning to the end, and the end to the beginning. Thou art well acquainted, O Lord, with all our ways, with our down-sittings and our uprisings. Thou knowest our thoughts afar off. Oh, do rend the heavens, Lord, and come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. And so, Lord, may thy word be suited to the exercises of thy dear people. For, Lord, do they not come up exercised to hear what God the Lord will speak? Oh, give the hearing ear, the wise and the understanding heart. And, Lord, thou knowest the exercise of my soul in bringing thy word here to die, and the labour of waiting upon thee in secret, in thy word. Oh, do give to me, Lord, now in public, the tongue of the learned, that I might be enabled to speak a word in season to some troubled soul, some burdened heart. Here on my heart the burden lies, and Lord, it does, it's felt the weight of it under the condemnation of it. But O Lord, we would look to Thee and trust in Thee, for Thou hast promised to be gracious and long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and in truth to those that come before Thee in humble confession, seeking the mercy of God through the person of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, may the day, the Lord's day, not pass without some gracious knowledge and understanding that the Lord has been in our midst and that His word has been used. Oh, Lord, help us then to wait upon Thee continually. We beseech of Thee. We lovingly pray for Thy cause and interest here, Thy church and congregation. Do remember them each, dear Lord, and grant to them the desire of their heart. Fulfill all their petitions. Hear and answer their prayers. And oh, do great things for them, whereof they shall be glad. And we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt remember each one gathered, and those unable to be healed, those lawful reasons that prevent. Lord, be with them where they are. For she that tarried at home divided the spoils. And so, Lord, we thank Thee that Thy word is also sent forth from this chapel so that others detained can hear the words of life and truth. May we each come to the feet of Jesus, as dear Mary of old, to hear Thy word. Mary have chosen that better path, that good path, that shall not be taken away from her. Do be with our friend who is in membership here, who preaches here and preaches among the churches. We pray that Thou wilt be with him today, and every time he stands up in the Lord's name. Now, dear brother in the office of deacon and the management of the cause here on a weekly or day-to-day basis, we pray that he might be strengthened and helped for all the matters that have to be of necessity attended to in the courts of the Lord's house. And be with him also in his responsibility with the Bethesda Committee and all that that entails on a constant exercise and responsibility. And so, Lord, do help us each to serve Thee in our day and generation in accordance with Thy sovereign will and good pleasure. Remember the afflicted of thy people, those that labour under infirmity every day, and know the weariness of a body of flesh and blood, and infirmity and weakness and pain. O Lord, do grant thy sustaining grace, thine upholding mercies. Help them to hold on their way and to endure unto the end. Remember, Lord, those acute cases as well as those chronic cases in affliction and in trial and in difficulty and in perplexity and distresses for Christ's sake, and those who know the path of bereavement. Oh, one after another, oh Lord, are being taken from the evil to come. But oh, we pray that us as sheep are gathered home, may lambs in the fold appear. And thus, Lord, do remember the dear children that are brought into this house of God. Oh, how good it is, lovely it is to see the dear children in the house of God. For Lord, a number of our causes do not have children. And thus we are concerned regarding the continuance of some of our smaller causes. But Lord, we would not wish our will to be done. We're not to inquire why the former days were better, but commit all into thy gracious hands and pray that thou wilt continue thy little remnant from generation to generation, so that in every age there will be those to serve thee in their day and generation, and then fall on sleep. Remember, Lord, our nation, the nations of the earth, all the warfares and conflicts, the fighting, the death, the injury, the destruction of property. Oh, the desolation, utter desolation that war doth bring. And our poor nation sunk in sin, depravity, corruption, violence. Oh, Lord, what a dark we live in. Oh, we pray that for the elect's sake, thou wilt continue favourably with us, and grant that our gospel privileges may be maintained, and that all that love and serve thee may be mercifully preserved. May the angel of the Lord encamp round about us each, round about our homes, round about the house of God, to keep all safe and secure, for safety, Lord, is of thee. Now, Lord, as we turn to thy word, we pray for all needed help in the great exercise of soul in the ministry of thy word. Bless the singing of the sacred hymns. And oh, do hear us, dear Lord, in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, O Lord, forgive. And help us to ascribe all the glory and all the honour and the praise unto thy great and holy name, the name and person of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. God bless it for evermore. Amen.
The notices for the opening week are that, God willing, Mr. Gilbert Hyde is engaged to preach here on Tuesday evening. On Friday evening we hold our monthly prayer meeting, and next Lord's Day, as helped, there will be a red address during the prayer meeting and a red sermon during the morning service. And Mr. Marcus Funnell is engaged to preach during the evening service, when the ordinance of the Lord's Supper will be observed, God willing. The collection taken for the month amounted to £500 in the general fund, and we do desire to thank the friends for their willing giving and acknowledge the Lord's mercies in it. May we now be helped to continue our worship singing hymn 471, hymn 471, to the tune Keswick number 38. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. Do thou my sins subdue, thy sovereign love make known. The spirit of my mind renew, and save me in thy Son. Hymn 471. To the tune Keswick number 38.
as the Lord shall be pleased to help me, dear friends, this morning, I would ask your prayerful and loving attention from a word to be found in the second book of the Chronicles. The second book of the Chronicles, chapter 33. And we go to verse 10. And read the following three or four verses regarding Manasseh as written in the Chronicles. So chapter 33, the second book of the Chronicles, verse 10, and the following few verses. And the Lord spoke to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. When he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Well, dear friends, I have to confess that I was in much exercise of soul coming here today, and I couldn't really light or settle upon a word. And yesterday the Lord knows how I was so burdened, really. But then eventually the Lord brought this case before me regarding Manasseh, and I felt it was the Lord's will and purpose that I should come with this word today. As we read in the Kings concerning Manasseh, you would say, was he a child of God? Or wasn't he a child of God? But the testimony in the Chronicles confirms to us that he was. And the hymn writer said, and there is all Manasseh's sins, or sins more deep than thine. As I open, the Lord helps me to open the word as we commence today. This thought has laid upon my mind, and this is when I read the last two verses in the 20th chapter in the Kings, because it speaks of Hezekiah and the good that he did and his death, and then Manasseh his son reigned in his stead. And this thought, dear friends, is this: Hezekiah was a godly man. Hezekiah was one of the good kings of Judah. And Manasseh would have been brought up with his father and would have witnessed the godly man his father was. He would have witnessed and known his affliction. And when the Lord said unto him, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And how he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord heard and answered his prayer. I will add unto thy days 15 years. And so it was a godly influence in his early days. He was 12 when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. But 12 years, friends, is sufficient for a child to understand and perceive and see and have the benefit of good, gracious, godly parents. But the sad and solemn thing was, it had no bearing on him at all. The influence of a godly home had no bearing on him whatsoever. And that is exceedingly sad and very solemn. I suppose we can safely say that all of us here present were brought up in a godly home. And the Word of God and prayer was exercised in the home, the attendance upon the means of grace, and so there was a good influence there for us in our youth. And friends, that's not to be despised. It's a great blessing. But you see, the thing is this. Grace is not inherited by our first birth. Our first birth, we inherit sin. The psalmist said, I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. So we inherited sin through our first birth, because of the Adam fall. It cannot be otherwise. We fell in our federal head, Adam. And so, the grace of the Lord Jesus is not something that we inherit in the first birth. It is only inherited and known through the second birth. And so, dear friends, this is why sometimes godly parents and then an ungracious son or daughter in their earlier life and days, in the slippery paths of youth, until the Lord intervenes in one's life and quickens them into life by the Spirit and brings them to a realization of their sinnership and of their need of a Saviour. So that is a very important point. What I would say is this from the scripture: train up a child in the way that he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. So there may be parents, friends, amongst our churches now, and their offspring have no manifestation of grace or love to the truth. Bring up a child in the way that he should go when he is old. What a word it is, friends. A word of hope, a word to plead before the Lord. Now, in contrast, we see Manasseh had a son, Amon, and he was an evil king as well. Amon trespass and more. And yet Amon had a son, Josiah. What a godly lad he was. And so you can have a godly father and an ungodly son. You can have an ungodly father and a godly son. Christ is sovereign, rich and free. And although we bear the characteristics of our parents, that's not grace. I remember years ago in one of our chapels, and had a little word, and then I saw him walk down the aisle to go to the back of the chapel. And I said to him after the service, I said, "You look like your father. You walk like your father. And you talk like your father." And they are the characteristics that we carry through our birth and our life. But that's not grace. No. You can look like your father, but that's not grace. You can walk like him, it's not grace. You can talk like him, that's not grace. Grace is a gift of God from heaven. It was made manifest in Josiah when he was 8 years old and he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. What a wonderful testimony then concerning Josiah. And his life was full of godliness, and yet he was only a young man when he died. How old was he? Well, he was 8 when he took the throne. He reigned for 31 years. He died at 39. A mature, godly, gracious king. And what a wonderful influence he had on Judah in his reign, and afterwards as well. That brings me to another point. After we are gone, will there be an influence of our life? The memory of the just is blessed. And we remember the Lord's dear people because of the grace and the godliness and the love and the faith that they possessed. Well, we come then to Manasseh. How sad, how solemn, left to himself. And did all the things that he did. And all the things that his father had done in accordance with the will of God, he overturned them. And worshipped idols, reared up a grove for Balaam, made groves and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, "In Jerusalem shall my name be there." Oh, what idolatry, what sacrilege, really, friends. How solemn for one to be led. The highest office in the land, to be king, and yet not to exercise his office in the fear of the Lord. And how all of us, friends, especially those who hold office in the Church of God, need to exercise that office in the tender, filial fear of the Lord. Because this influence, ungodly and ungracious influence of Manasseh's, you see, spread to others in Judah. Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. They wouldn't hearken. They were stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart, refused to hear, refused to submit. Like the children of Israel, when Moses was in the mount, and then Aaron made the golden calf, and they worshipped it. These be thy gods, O Israel, that brought thee out of Egypt. What a lie, what idolatry. Man, friends, even the Lord's people left to themselves. Oh, what straits they get into. And so the Lord in his faithfulness spake to them. But they wouldn't hear, they wouldn't hearken. Friends, what a responsibility it is to hear, isn't it? We hear the word of God. We preach the word of God. But do we walk in the truth? Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are they that walk in truth and righteousness. But to hear the Lord speaking to us and to neglect it, to refuse to hear, to turn the back on God instead of our face. Oh, friends, how solemn. They would not hearken. Well, the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, said, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they've got itching ears. They want to turn to fables. Friends, how sad and solemn. Turn to fables and reject the truth. Well, unless the Lord intervened for Manasseh and Judah, whatever would have happened? What did happen? What the Lord said would happen. Because you see, you turn the page and then you read concerning Nebuchadnezzar coming, the king of Babylon, and causing havoc in Jerusalem and taking the people exiled, into exile and captivity. But I want to keep to the text. I think it's right, if a text is given out, then we should endeavour to keep to it by the word of God. So they would not hearken. Here is the mercy of God in bringing before us his word, in telling us what to do. It's the mercy of God, you see. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we have his word. And it's the word of God that needs to be read and preached and proclaimed so that men hear and know what is required of them by the God of heaven. Ignorance will never be an excuse as before Almighty God. Never. So, they would not hearken. The Lord has given the ear to hear, and yet they shut it to the word of God. And friends, we live in an age when men, thousands and millions of people in this world will not hearken to the word of God. They'll listen to anything else, anybody else, but come to the scriptures and they take a penknife and cut it out or burn it in the fire. They will not submit, they will not hearken. Now the reason being is because of that in the heart, that enmity in the heart to God. How solemn. God in his wonderful creation has created man in his own image. God has created the world and all the beauty and wonder of it. And yet, man will never submit to the authority of God, or to the creator of this world. Well, dear friends, what a mercy if you and I have been brought to that. So, there may be one this morning enter the sanctuary. Wondering where the scene will end. Am I a child of God or am I not? Oh, the question rises. The burden is there. Friends, this is one of the remarkable truths in Scripture concerning one who is left to go great lengths, guilty of blood, filled the streets of Jerusalem with innocent blood. He was guilty of blood. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, the psalmist prayed. And Manasseh was the same. But the thing was, the divine mercy was, the sovereignty of God was this, that he was a chosen vessel of mercy. And so a chosen vessel of mercy will never be lost. But God in his sovereignty and according to his own word will deal with his people. And he dealt with Manasseh. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, brought upon them, and they took the king of Assyria, of the host of the king of Assyria. Now, the king of Assyria, of course, sets before us Asher. This is where the Assyrians originated from, Asher. And of course, Asher proceeded from Babel. Confusion. Sin. And Babel emanated from Ham, the son of Noah. And Ham dishonored his father. Cursed be Ham. He'll be a servant to Shem and his brother. And so you read in the Genesis, the generations, and then you come to the king of Assyria. They emanated from Ham. They were the enemies of the Lord. And you see, Canaan, the heathen nation, the ungodly people caused their children to pass through the fire. Wizards, enchantments, and all manner of iniquity and sin. God caused these to come upon Manasseh, the king of Assyria, the heathen, the ungodly, who had no regard for the Lord's people. And so they took him among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. Well, of course, Babylon, confusion, sin, iniquity, all from Ham. He was the father of Canaan. And so they took him, Manasseh among the thorns. The thorns of his own sin and corruption. Because God, when the Lord pronounced evil upon our first parents, pronounced against them for their sin, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, the Lord said to Eve, and to Adam, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife and done that which I commanded thee not, cursed is the ground for thy sake, thorns and thistles shall it yield to thee. And these thorns, to my understanding, set forth all the effect of the curse, the effect of sin, took him among the thorns, as if he was so in that state and condition as he was, in the thorns of corruption and sin and iniquity and blood guiltiness, the thorns. Oh, the effect of the Adam fall is seen right through the generations of time and right down to the present day. And we can't stop these thorns and thistles, friends, literally. And we can't stop the thorns and thistles of our own sin and iniquity, friends. It's only by grace. It's only by the power of God's Holy Spirit. So this is where he was taken from. And this is where the Lord took you from and me, dear friends. The thorns of this corrupt, sinful world. The pleasures of it, the vain vanities of it. The Lord took us from those thorns. Did the Lord not do it for you, dear friends? Oh, the Lord came where we were. And the Lord uses means, whatever means he will, to chasten his dear people. And then they bound him with fetters. Friends, you can't move when you're bound with fetters. You're held fast. And a poor, sinful worm of earth is bound with fetters. The fetters of a broken law. You can't escape, friends, from a broken law. It will condemn you. It will curse you. It will follow you. You can't escape it, bound with fetters, and then carried into Babylon, into exile, into desolation, into the enemy's land. And there you see the effect of sin. Not in Jerusalem, not in Judah, not amongst the Lord's people, but amongst the ungodly. Babylon. Bound. Oh, friends. What could Manasseh do to deliver himself? Nothing. What can a poor sinful worm of earth do to deliver themselves? They can do nothing. Only by the power of God's Holy Spirit entering the heart and enabling them to pray. And so the Lord brought him into deep affliction. Oh, afflictive dispensations. Afflictions in body or mind. Or afflictions in one's pathway and circumstances. And the Lord uses affliction to bring his people to realize that the Lord is God and there's none else. And so in this path of affliction, he was brought by God. Oh, the psalmist said that before he was afflicted, he went astray and wandered from the gospel. Why? I went astray until the Lord afflicted me. And the Lord uses affliction, friends, to bring his people to himself. Because every arm of flesh is of no avail. No avail at all. The more I sinned against, the more I strove against sin's power, I sinned and stumbled yet the more. But the Lord uses affliction to bring his people to his feet. Did the Lord ever do it for you, dear friends? Does the Lord ever lay affliction upon your loins? Cause men to ride over your head? You went through fire and through water. I've been there, friends. I know what I'm talking about and preaching. The Lord laid affliction upon my loins. The Lord brought me into affliction. But you see, there is where the Lord will open your heart and enable you to seek unto God. The Lord knows what means he will use. Look at his dear father, Hezekiah. When the prophet Isaiah came, set thine house in order, Hezekiah, for thou shalt die and not live. What did he do? He turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Turned his back on every arm of flesh. And turn to the wall there to plead with God. Nothing to intervene. Nothing to hinder. Nothing to stop. He prayed unto the Lord. The Lord heard his prayer. I have heard thy prayer. I've seen thy tears. I will add unto thy days 15 years. Well, friends, the power of prayer. And when the Lord brings one into affliction, then there's a change of heart. One is brought low, exceedingly low. There was no one to help Manasseh now, was there? No man, no arm of flesh could come where he was. He was alone before God. That's where the Lord brings his people, to be alone before God. And the Lord uses these afflictions for this divine purpose. Now, you see, the Lord uses his word to show to us concerning confirmation concerning Manasseh, and of course regarding ourselves. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You see, dear friends, the chastening hand of God was upon Manasseh. And the chastening hand of God is upon every one of his dear people in their life at some time or other. If ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers. If you're without chastisement, all the Lord's people know it. But if we don't, if one doesn't, then they're not a child of God. And what does the Lord say? Then are ye bastards and not sons. And so we see here now, open to our understanding, that Manasseh was a son of God. A child of God. Because the Lord didn't leave him in his sin and iniquity all his days. Like Amon. No. The Lord dealt with him in accordance with his word. because he was a chosen vessel of mercy. Here's the sovereignty of God, friends. And that's the deep, beyond man. It's beyond the man. We believe the doctrine. We submit to it. We bless God for it. But God is sovereign, friends. And he doth not give account of any of his matters. I know whom I have chosen. Have not I chosen you 12, he said to the apostles. And yet one of you is a devil. These are solemn things, friends, aren't they? But what mercy the Lord demonstrated in Manasseh. He didn't cut him off in his sin. He was spared because the Lord would manifest his love and grace to him. And friends, what a mercy we've been spared. The Lord didn't cut us off. No. But he's lengthened out our days. Why? To manifest his grace more and more in our hearts and in our lives. So, friends, the Lord can lay a sinner very low, very quickly. Yes. When he was in affliction. Now, when the Lord's hand is laid upon one, now either the child of God is brought in submission to the Lord, as Job was, in all his distress, he was brought in submission. The Lord gave, the Lord had taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. But friends, what about his wife? What about his wife? Does she submit to the authority of God? No. One's almost afraid to utter what she said. Oh, the solemnity. Curse God and die. There's rebellion in its greatest measure. But here, under the sovereignty of God, Manasseh humbled himself before God. Well, I see the time has gone, friends, quickly this morning. Oh, may it be a word of hope and consolation to us. Of the Lord's grace and goodness to his dear people, notwithstanding our sinfulness and all we like sheep, Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid upon him, the Lord has laid upon Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn number 968. Hymn 968, June Monkland 482. Hark, my soul, it is the Lord, 'tis thy Saviour, hear his word. Jesus speaks and speaks to thee. Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? I deliver thee when bound and when wounded, heal thy wound sought thee wandering, set thee right, turned thy darkness into light. Hymn 968, June Monkland, 482.
Thank you.
thy grace, Lord Jesus, the Father's love, the communion of thy Holy Spirit, be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.